Blog Talk Radio. Wow. Love it. That's Dynasty, guys. Dynasty stroking right there. And it's so good. I'm so excited because it is Friday. And we are once again kicking off the weekend, the Solar Weekend here on Solar Records Radio. We're just waiting for Don Fleming. He's coming in shortly. But much love to everybody. We hope you're doing good. And Astrid, go to sleep, girl. I know I think she got jet lag and it's bad. She don't think she has, but I she never goes to bed this early, right? So, but anyway, go get your rest, and we're glad you're back home safely. Hey, much love to all my brothers and sisters around the world. What's up, Mimo, Greg, and there's so many people that have been so kind to us overseas and stuff, and I just want to say thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, as we appreciate that, too. What's up, Eddie? Eddie's in the house. My brother, thank you, Ed, for, just always showing us love, man. We appreciate that. And Virgil Roberts, the president of Solar Records and my attorney now. God is good, and I want to give a shout-out to Julian. What's up, girly girl? How you doing back in Detroit? Detroit, Michigan's in the house. Hey, give my cousin a hug when you see him. And what's up, Peter? Peter Potts. Anyway, so, another thing's been going on. I've been dealing with some of my friends have been, somebody sent me a link somewhere. I got a link. And then in the link, the link was talking about my high school. I said, yes. And I started writing about, how much it was an honor for me to have played there in my high school graduation, how much I appreciate that. And strange. I'm getting a phone call right now from National Museum of African American Music. Oh, yes. I know who that is. I have to call them back. We went there. I went by there, and I was talking to them about putting plaques up for some of the Solar stuff in Dynasty. So they're returning the call. So, but anyway, I want to say, I forgot what I was going to say to you. So my school, and so they were asking about it, and I was just saying how much of a privilege it was and how blessed we were and how much, it was an honor to be able to play for my classmates. And so, and then all of a sudden, the page just started blowing up. Everybody was talking about, yeah, I was there with you. I played in the orchestra with you, yes. We all started reminiscing about school and just being young again. And it was just fun, reminiscing with them. And then, I said something about, hey, do anybody have any pictures of the teachers? Because, you never get to see the teachers anymore, right? And so they're not going to, post in our class thing. And so then all of a sudden, my sister, Diane, just pops in and goes, where's your class book at? Where's your book? And I'm like, I don't know. Do you have it? I have no idea. When 1976, how am I going to keep up with that? And so my sister is going to send me that book. And so I'm so grateful. But it's just, I don't know what it is, but I enjoy those moments. And my mom is always, when I call and I'll talk to them and say, how is Miss such and such? And how are the kids over here? And they all wonder, why are you always worried about everybody? Because I miss those people, and they were a part of who I was, part of my upbringing. So, I'm just that way, I guess. I love people, and I don't, just because I'm not around you don't mean I'm not thinking about you. And so, but anyway, let's get to the music, back to the music. So, I just wanted to share that with you guys. Don's trying to hurry up and get into the studio, but he's a little slow. Y'all know how Don Fleming is, right? Anyway, all right, guys. So, listen, we got to get going here. Started off with Dynasty Stroking. That was fun. and one of those fun songs to record. And when I'm listening to it, I was thinking about Kevin Spencer. He's traveling from Louisiana to Los Angeles right now. So safe travels, Kev. But anyway, guys, so what we're going to do is I want to play a song. I'm gonna slow it down just a tad, okay? If that's okay with you guys. All right. I love the whispers when they get like real sexy, right? I hope that doesn't offend anyone, but it is what it is. It was just like they have like this thing. Their music is very romantic. How about that? And so I just love, you know, when they do that. It reminds me of back in the day when we were on tour with them. So check it out here on Solar Records Radio. This is Wardell Potts Jr. Man, love these guys.
It's come and it's gone, for all that it's been, it's never been really long. What always seems to come is goodbye. But I believe in this love, it's not like before. My journey is done, I've come to the end of the road. 'Cause without you there's just nowhere to go. I feel inside for one thing of
Thank you.
Yes, absolutely. Something very special. And man, oh man, I that's one of my favorite Lakeside songs, by the way. It's just so grooving, right? It is just so on point. And, you know, hanging out with those guys and getting to know them, you know, personally was a true honor because they were big brothers to me. And I always looked up to them, and I was shy about how I felt because I was always like learning from them. From my point of view, that's where I was. Now, I don't know what they thought, but I was just a sponge, and I was absorbing because I was in a state that I wasn't used to being in, being in California after, you know, leaving Philadelphia. So just hanging out with, you know, Lakeside, meeting them first of all, and this, when I met them, they had already had that song out, their first hit that was out, and so I was like kind of in awe. And then Leon Silvers took me to a park to see them perform. I mentioned this before in the show, and I saw them on stage, and they had on all white with cowboy hats on and stuff, and they just looked absolutely amazing. And I was like, wow, these guys are professional. They know what they're doing. And so, you know, for me, just hanging out with Lakeside was an experience. And I was real fortunate because they were gentlemen. They were very cool, calm, and collected. They had no issues in sharing, you know, who they were. And we all just became buddies. It was like, almost like for me, like, it was somebody I grew up around because we did grow up in the music business together, just at that, in that small period at Solar for about 7 years. And then we continued our relationships after that. And we continued to, you know, to support each other and love on each other from a distance as everybody went into different, you know, places and doing different things. So, but anyway, yeah, Lakeside, amazing. Don Fleming, how are you doing, my brother?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good, man. I'm good. I was just sharing out, you know, my relationship with Lakeside as we just finished listening to Something About That Woman. Their music always, yeah, that's one of my favorite Lakeside songs, up-tempo or mid-tempo. And it's just a great song. And but they were really good guys, and I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful that I had a chance to get to know them as men, you know, young men, and then, you know, older men. Now we all are a little older, and so, but you know, and they're still out there doing their thing. I was just talking to Fred, the drummer, the other day, and they're out there, man. They're constantly traveling. I just saw them on a plane right now and on this way going somewhere. So, you know, the music industry is something else, you know. I mean, I only can speak because I have never done anything in regards to acting besides a commercial. But as far as, like, just the industry and the music industry, these guys are on the road, man. They hit the pavement and running, you know, to the next gig. Hit the pavement, running to the next gig. And that's great, right? But, you know, after a while, it's like, wait a minute. Like, where's my home? You know, when you're on a serious tour, man, you can be, you know, home for maybe only, you know, 2 or 3 months out of the year. That's right? And that's like Kool and the Gang. They are all, their itinerary is just ridiculous. They are always going. And Earth, Wind & Fire, always working.
Yes.
So now, you know, I'm seeing that with my friends here too now. You know, like I said, Fred and them, they, every time I turn around, he's on the plane going somewhere. Those guys are,
you know,
doing
what's amazing, thing. Though?
Yeah.
You know what's amazing? Is the fact that, you know, on the flip side of that, you know, we talk about family and, you know, the missing out on, you know, your children growing up and things like that on some instances. And other instances, you know, is that you're creating a large fan base, and the fact that fan base lasts for generations after you're not signed to a contract or signed to a label anymore. I mean, these things to me are like lifetime investments. And the beauty of it, a lot of kids, may understand, the parents may understand, hey, you got to do what you got to do, to eat and, feed the kids and feed the family. That 4 months or 3 or 4 months a year and then being on tour, I understand that can be a definite strain, man. And I can't imagine, that balance that you'd have to do to try to maintain a certain income status to keep your family fed and then just going on the tour and obligating yourself to your label and to your bandmates.
And to yourself, because this is something you wanted to do, right? But
yeah.
The reality sits in when you're doing it. Mm-hmm. And then if you started a family, you got a wife or something, you're like, wait a minute, I'm always gone. This is great, but, and then you start organizing ways for them to be with you. And before you know it, the money that you're making, you're spending just trying to, accommodate the whole situation. So it's a lot and if you have kids on top of it, the wife can't come out because she got to take care of the kids. So it's a juggling act for these guys. And, that's why in the entertainment business, period, you see a lot of divorce because people mm-hmm. can, it's hard to maintain,
keep that balance.
Yeah, it's hard. And
you know what?
Go ahead.
It's a serious situation, right? I want to have a little levity. It always reminds me of, if you guys remember, there was a show called The Wayans Brothers, and there was a clip where they talked about, when Pops used to be in a group, a singing group, a 70s singing group and whatnot, and he was always away on tour. And I guess he was talking to one of the sons, Shauna Marlon, and he was like, what about when I talked to you? I was there when you took your first step. And they were like, no, you wasn't, Dad. No, you wasn't, Pops. The mailman taught us how to walk. He said, what about when you got your first set of teeth? Oh, the mailman was there when we got the first set of teeth. What about who taught you to ride a bicycle? The mailman taught us to ride a bicycle. Then Pops was like, what the hell a mailman doing up in my house?
Yeah.
But man, you gotta be careful.
Yeah, well, there's an old school song that says, "Who's making love to your old lady?"
Oh, Johnny Taylor.
Why you making love? Yeah, so you gotta be careful. You can't just be
Johnny Taylor
thinking it's all about you. All right, I want to read a question. They said it may be a silly question. Ignore it if you think it's too silly. It says, when recording different types of songs, do you change the type of drumsticks you might use? Or is
That's
it just one size fits all? Well,
that's a good question.
So it is. And so when we're playing different types of music, not necessary songs, but music, I do change mm-hmm. the sticks. And what that is that, like, when I'm playing certain types of jazz, I use brushes, right?
Mm-hmm. So I was about to mention that.
Right. And then when I'm playing, when I want to play hard, but I don't want to be too loud, like for a church or something, or elderly crowd, I would play with drumsticks. They called hot rods. And so they're like a stick, but they're broken up. They're broken up like brushes, but they're actual sticks instead of brushes. So they're not wired. They're actual sticks. So it's a bunch of sticks that are taped together, and they're called hot rods. And so you could still have the same intensity as if you were playing with a drumstick, but the sound is not as loud, and it doesn't offend people as much. And then when we're playing these pop R&B grooves, those up tempo slamming jamming, oh yeah, I'm playing with my regular sticks and putting it mm-hmm. down. And but then when we do ballads, I still play with the regular sticks, you know, but I may play the drums differently, like as opposed to hitting the snare in the middle on a slow song, I will play what we call a rim shot. So it's quick. Now it's more of a click than a pop. Go ahead.
And you know, go back to your Dynasty days. I want you to close your eyes and I want you to think. But no, I'm setting the mood. Think about what was the hardest song. Well, not hard. It's just when you tap those drums the hardest, what is the funkiest song or hardest song as far as just your rudiments that you play, you know, from Dynasty that you're just like, okay, we're cooking with grease on this one.
Okay, so that's a good question. The problem is that Dynasty did every, you know, so Dynasty, every time I recorded, it was with Dynasty. Even when it was for the Whispers or for Shalimar, it was for, you know, Climax, or if it was for Kerry Lucas, right. it was Dynasty, right? And so, I can't think of, I'm trying to, you know, so for me, and I don't mean this in a way, God, see, I got to say this correctly. So, for me, I was a progressive jazz drummer, so I playing a lot of things for me was the norm. Playing in mm-hmm. the pocket was a lot of holding back, and it took a lot of restraint and discipline to just hold that pocket and to, you know, to play in that pocket. So there was not the thing that was difficult was being disciplined, you know, making sure that you play where you're supposed to play. You know, you want to make it lay so it stay. You know, you don't want to just play all over the place like a lot of, you know, I try to tell these drummers that, you know, that this is not an audition when you're performing with people, or, you know, this is not about you. We're a supporting cast as drummers. We're driving the train, you know. And mm-hmm. the best bands have a very, very strong backbone, which is the drummer, you know. And so you got to really take it real serious about being the spine of the groove and allow the body to do what it needs to do to accomplish the goal that we're there for. And so, but if you don't take that seriously, you know, if you don't take being the spine seriously, it'll start to fold and the rest of the band will start playing all over the place because you're all over the place and there's no metronome, so to speak, to keep everybody in line. That's a great answer. Oh, thank you.
That's a great answer. I mean, very descriptive, you know, when you talk about, because it's a passion. You can definitely tell when you say that. I'm gonna simplify it for you, but I'm not gonna, you know, feel like I'm answering your question. But I could be wrong, and just let me know. But I think personally, I think it might be groove control. I think as far as Dynasty.
You like that group?
As far as just Dynasty by itself, of course, you know, we know your acumen playing, you know, with all of the other, you know, with Shalimar and whatnot. But as far as just soul Dynasty, I think it's groove control. I think it's groove control, and arguably, Here I Am.
Okay, so what do you think about those songs? What do you think? What's groove control?
I think just the hardest, you know, when you hitting on those drum sets, the hardest.
Oh,
and then
okay.
The hardest, and not saying, you know, the hardest is the funkiest, but it does kind of correlate to just your style of the, you know, of playing those drums, you know, when it comes to pockets and whatnot.
Yeah. Well, you know, for me, I'm not really a rock drummer, so rock drummers play really hard. My drumming style is more charismatic And I have I play with more finesse and try to do little things that people, you know, you really got to listen to hear it. And when you hear it, then you go, oh, that's what he did. Right. And so, I get that from, you know, other drummers that are playing with these groups that I recorded the drum parts, and they go, man, you were doing all, I figured it out what you were doing. That's you know, and I get props for that, and I appreciate that, because the thing that I really appreciate is the fact that they wanted to learn it right and not just play their own version of it. They wanted to learn it right first, and then you add your stuff to it, but learn it right. Mm-hmm. And so I appreciate when, you know, these really good drummers say those things to me. It really blesses my heart. But thank you. I'm glad. A lot of people do like that song. I think this question kind of goes with what you said. So which songs you played on Really Needed Pocket? And so, you know, I got to tell you that Really Needed Pocket, every single song. Every single song needs pocket. Now, I know that may seem weird. That might sound like a weird answer. But see, that is the structure. That is the foundation that Leon created. That is what, that's where he made the line. It's got to be in pocket. It's got to be in time. It's got to be just like this, you know. And he put that, all that weight on me, because every single time we recorded, if they could not move on until the drum track was right. So I had to make sure I got the drum track right, or we were, you know, money was just going out the door, you know, because every hour was, you know, the studio, the engineer, the assistant engineer, everybody's getting paid. The musicians are sitting in there, you know, and so it's like, come on, you know, get you. So I had the responsibility. So to answer your question, every single song required pocket. See, ballads have their own pocket. You know, the up-tempos have their pocket, but ballads do too. They all have this, there's a thing. And it's an amazing place to be when you are in it. And the humans, us, we know when we're dancing to these songs, we can feel that pocket. We may not know what it's called, but we can feel it when it's locked. Like, oh, my God, that feels so good. That's that pocket. So every song that I recorded was, and after I was taught by Leon Silvers, that this is the pocket, and it's yours, and he gave it to me as my responsibility, and so I took that wherever I went. When I wasn't recording for Leon, whoever I was working for, that was my whole thing: pocket, lock it, and that was it. So anyway, I hope I answered your question. Oh, man.
I love the fact that you're descriptive, and again, you're giving the listeners and, you know, your fans what they want when it comes to, you know, these type of questions. Sometimes, you know, it's simplistic. Sometimes you have to kind of go and be a little more, you know, descriptive on your passion and what you do. Because, you know, if I can talk about my passion when I play, you know, when I played my saxophone, I understood how to play, you know, different styles when it came to playing, you know, pop music versus jazz music. So I feel it. It's just a rhythm I have, you know, with my fingers or whatever when I'm, you know, playing, you know, my horn. So, you know, long time ago, but
yes.
But yeah, I totally get what you're saying.
Okay. So we're gonna play another track or two, and then we'll come back and get to some more questions. Guys, please feel free. The question, we are here. That's what we're here for. And whenever you ask a question, Don will take it someplace else as well. That's what we do. But listen, oh, Don, he just muted his mic. Don, I'm wondering if you can still hear me. I have a question for you, and that question is, okay, that question is, there's a song by Midnight Star called Strike a Match. Have you ever heard that?
Uh-huh. Yes.
You have?
Yes, I have. I have.
Oh, okay.
It's off all the, right. Oh God! Here I am talking. I remember it though.
Okay, well,
I remember Strike a Match.
All right, I have a request for that, so that's what we're going to be playing right here, right now, here on Solar Records Radio. Thank you guys for your request. Thanks for hanging in there with us, and we appreciate you being the best part of Solar Records Radio. Here we go, Strike a Match by Midnight Star. We'll be right back.
Turn me on. Oh,
That's it right there, Don. That's the song right
that.
There. That's when I learned exactly what Leon Sewers was talking about. When
I love when the twins do that, man. I love that. You know what, man? It just seemed 1980 was y'all. I mean, of course, throughout the early 80s, but it was just, to me, it just seemed like 1980 was y'all's year. I mean,
for decades.
Just, I mean, for real. I mean, 80 was your year. It was just that year.
Oh, 80, 1980.
It was something about, 1980.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you said that. I 80 was good. 80 was good for me. 81 was even better. And because
81? Oh.
Yeah, because we were getting better. We were all growing as a, you know, as a factory. And we knew also we started, you know, we were getting so, you see the stuff going up the charts, it's all over the radio, and you are constantly, you know, when you go into the, when we go to the musicians unions to, you know, get our checks and stuff for recording, you know, you're in a line with a bunch of musicians that's in the studio recording Michael Jackson projects, you know, everybody's project that's going on radio, you know, Janet Jackson's project, the Brothers Johnsons, everybody and anybody who's anybody was in those lines picking up their checks. And it was just, it was great to, you know, for people to be like, man, you guys killed that. That was, man, dude, you know, because we were the new sound. It wasn't like we were just, we just had a hit out. We were the actual new sound of music. You know, we changed the sound of, it went, you know, went from disco to that solar sound. It just exploded because people were ready for something new. And, you know, and as life has it, you know, we keep changing. It's like changing fashion. And so when Solar came, it was like that was a whole new thing. And so it was, and we were so young, we didn't know how to, we couldn't be arrogant. We were just like, oh, thank you, thank you. We were like little kids.
Right.
Thank you.
Right.
Thank you. You know, and you're standing, excuse me.
Okay.
And you're standing in this line with people like Al McKay from Earth, Wind & Fire and all these people giving you those props. And you're like, thank you. Thank you, because you knew, we knew we did something right. We were doing something right because it was still going. And so, anyway, let me get a drink of water here while I got too excited.
But, you know, let me go ahead and just say this. I think you said 81, you guys were just getting better. But again, 80, it just seemed like you had Shalimar, you had the Whispers, you had Lakeside doing what they did. You know, Climax was kind of, you know, getting ready to kind of start. I guess 82 was kind of their year, Gershwin Girls Will Be Girls. But man.
I understand why you say that, though. I think the reason why you're saying that is because that's when we exploded out. When it just we hit the airwaves in 80. It was like, and the beat goes on second time around. You know, what do you call the song that you said you liked by Dynasty?
Adventures in the Land of Music and
that song was
Groove Control.
80. Yeah, Groove Control. And so all these things were just hitting the airwaves, and even the DJs couldn't stop it because the people were wanting it. And so that's why it was something new and fresh, and that's why the 80s, you know, just that year, 1980 felt so powerful to you because that was the beginning. You know, like that first high, people always talk about that first high, and they keep chasing the drug because they keep trying to get that first high. Well, we were chasing a good drug. We were chasing the drug of creativity and joy and happiness.
Oh,
and,
man.
And, you know, and royalties and, you know, and traveling on the road and meeting new people, new friends and new adventures and writing new songs. And this is the real exciting part about it, we had no idea when this was going to end, because the end was never part of the vision. It was just always to keep doing whatever you're doing, just keep doing it. It's working. Keep doing it. You know, and we did as long as we could. I mean, go ahead.
It did. You did own. I mean, really, Solar kind of just owned the charts, really.
Yeah,
it really did.
Yes.
The reason why I say 80, you know, 80 was kind of a significant year for me, because it's like you're young enough to grasp music. You're young enough to kind of just take it in and know the words, the song. You know, people, when those aunts say, oh, baby, you used to sing this song when you learned how to talk. You know, it's always those little, you know, anecdotes and stories and whatnot. But, you know, you're 6 years old, you're older or whatever. It's like that was and being, you know, in Venice, California at a, you know, and I always talked about it, you know, are the block parties with the water. The water balloon fights, you know, with the kids, and you hear, and I'm mentioning other artists too, but you get my point. You're, you know, the SOS band, Take Your Time, that came out around that time, you know, Fantastic Voyage, you hear that on the radio, you hear, you know, And the Beat Goes on the radio, you know, all of that great music, David Ruffin, you know, Slow Dance, just a great time for me personally. I'm being stingy about it, but again, 80 to me, I felt that you guys were, you got better in 81 and 82, you know, you took it to another level. I get that. But I think 80 was kind of just a solid year to me.
Yeah. Springboard. That was the springboard of all of our careers. We started, you know, you prep before you get on that springboard, right? You thinking about what you're going to do, how you're going to do it. You standing back. And so 78 and 79, we were getting ready. And then 80, we jumped off that springboard. And that was it. The dive was on. And that's when we came out. That's when it really, because the 80s is when everything started hitting the charts. You know, because I think and the Beat Goes On came out at the end of 79. So it really hit the charts in the beginning of 80. It would just start flying up the charts. And before you know it, it was contagious. Mm-hmm. Like, wait, you know, that's the Whispers? Because the Whispers are known for love songs and slow and, mid-tempo songs. Not a, you know, lock it on the floor, you know. And
Right.
They're like, what, the Whispers? Are like, they have been revived.
And they had moves. And they had, and they could dance. I mean, Nicholas Caldwell was a beast,
absolutely,
you know, when it came to his dance moves. So when you think about the videos, like, And the Beat Goes On, that dance routine, I'm joking with my wife, and, we're watching, you know, YouTube TV or whatever, and we pop that video up, and I'm trying to do the dance, you know, their dance routine. My wife's laughing at me like, sit down somewhere, you know, or it's a love thing. You know, I think that's a little easier for me, you know. But yeah, they had moves, man. And it was, again, it was around that time disco was kind of fading out. You was kind of going into that synth funk era of the early 80s, going into the mid 80s, 84 being around that peak year. But you had a little bit of all of the last bit of disco element there, and then you had the experimental synth punk in the repertoire. So a lot of that, it was kind of a blend, and that was the beauty of it.
Mm-hmm.
Correct me if I'm wrong. You know.
No, yeah, you're good. No, I will correct you. You know I will. You're my little brother. And I'm far enough away from you. I don't have to worry about you trying to hit me. But
no,
so honey, listen. I have a question I need to answer for a very special friend.
Go ahead.
He says that he wants to know, can you explain what a paradiddle is? So that's drummer.
You speed it up. I used to knew that. So I'm sorry, but go ahead. You can explain that better. I used to go para, okay. Did go para. You speed it up on the drums. So go ahead.
Okay, so a paradiddle is a rudiment that are played on the drums, and the paradiddle goes like this. If you don't have sticks, I can teach you with your hands. So if you put both of your hands down on the table or whatever, your legs or whatever, and so what you're going to do is that you're going to hit right, left, so right hand, then left hand, okay? So now I'm going to tell you, now follow me because this is the paradiddle. Here is the paradiddle, right? Here we go. Right, left, right, right, left, right, left, left. So right, left, right, right, left, right, left, left, right, left, right, right, left, right, left, left, right, left, right, right, left, right, left, left. That's your paradiddle. You got it? Right, left, right, right, left, right, left, left. Right, left, right, right, left, right, left, left. Paradiddle. You can do it.
Amazing.
You can do it, Phil.
You can do it.
That's my buddy Phil. I know that. So now I hope that you get that. You understand what that is. And, you know, and we used to, you know, like the double stroke rule, what we call it, mama, dada. Right, right, left, left, right, right, left, left. Mama, dad, dad, mama, dad, dad, mama, dad, dad, mama, dad, dad, mama, dad, dad. So, oh, man. These are the
faster,
things that
faster.
You, yeah, you just, you know, and so it's that's called a double stroke rule, so you can remember that. A single stroke rule would be just right, left, right, left, right, left, right, left. That's a single stroke rule. So thank you for the question. And so... Right, left, right, right. Left, right, left, left. Come on, you can do this. It's not, but so, okay, so this is really good for people for like you have some brain injury, people that may have Alzheimer's that's coming on. This is good for them because it works the brain. It makes your brain work. So it's called music therapy, and they have drummers come in and help in giving drum lessons to the elderly people in the hospitals. Isn't that awesome? Uh-oh. I guess Don disappeared on that one. Too much for him. All right.
No, it's good. I love it. I love it. I dropped my phone.
Oh my god! All right, guys. So, anyway, so I just wanted
I got a
to
block
say,
for you.
Okay.
I got
okay.
A, I
great.
Got a solar block.
I love it. I'm so excited. That just before you go into your block, I want to say that last song that I played, you guys, from the Whispers, I Can Make It Better. That song was the song that I, as a drummer, really understood what Leon Silvers meant when he was saying pocket, because I was only like 20 years old. I was just a kid. And I remember my friend Tony Westcott, who was the drummer that played for Leon, played for the Silvers, and he was the one that hooked me up with Leon. And so, and he said something about pocket a few times, and I was like, I thought he was a little cuckoo. I said, that must be like some California language, because I have no idea what he's, you know, what you're talking about. And so then when I got to California, Leon started talking pocket. I go, what? And I said, what is that? And so then I just really, really start concentrating on just timing. And so timing is kind of pocket. It really is pocket, but it's what you do inside the timing that creates the pocket. Okay, so what that means is that what you do inside of it is you create a feel inside the timing. Okay, so okay, somebody could say, this is the instructions on how you make cornbread, right? This is the instructions on how you make cornbread, right?
Love
so everybody knows how to make cornbread, But some people make the cornbread better than others. Why? Because they vary. They do what they think.
They vary.
Yeah.
They vary.
They don't stick to the... They
That's
just
what I'm
going to
fight.
It's not just about the tick, 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 the timing or the instructions. They ad lib and they bring something to it that makes it better.
Yeah.
And that's what happens with the pocket. You're bringing a feel to the timing that makes it feel so much better. And so, and then people go, man, that's a pocket right there. That's what the musicians say. But other people would say, oh, I love that beat. You know, it's a whole song is a beat. It's so funny when I hear that. It drives me absolutely crazy. But it is what it is. All right. So you ready for your block? We got about what
I got a block for you, man.
Half an hour left. Okay,
I got a block
for
you. Yeah, man. And I wanted to play. And I wanted to play. I got this block. We'll see what happens. But no, man. Thank you so much for answering those questions, man. There was a lot of great questions, man. Guys, keep it coming. For all those who are out there in radio land, you got some questions for my partner Wardell. Of course, he is the man. I call ground zero when it came to the music industry, especially at Solar Records. So ask him anything. You know, considering we're celebrating the legacy of Solar Records today. Of course, it is a beautiful Solar weekend. So I want to play. Definitely gonna got some Solar music on it, but I got some Solar inspired music because one of my biggest, you know, of course, Leon is the man, and everyone, Leon is in that conversation. Leon Silvers is in the conversation when you talk about some of the greatest producers in R&B history, and of course, pretty much inspired Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis. This is one of their first projects after they left the time. As a matter of fact, let's take you back to 1982 and give you a classic from the SOS band. You can hear it. Listen to it. You can hear a little Leon Silver's inspiration there, man. So this is called High Hopes. You guys keep it locked right here. Solar Records Radio. It is Friday. Yes, it is time to celebrate the sounds of Los Angeles Records. Of course, that is that was my block, Wardell. That was my gift to you guys. That was one of my favorites. Actually, I mean, you know what? I can't say a favorite Shalamar song, but that's going to go, you know, that's a top tier right there. That's one of my all-time favorites over and over from the Look album, 1983, of course, featuring my brother here on drums, Over and Over. And, of course, before that, I had to hook up a little Silvers, 1973 classic, Through the Love of My Heart, and, of course, started off the block, SOS Band, High Hopes from 1982. What a great song, man.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I got a message from Greg, said, top, that's what did he say? He said he really liked that. He says, over and over, you're at your best, my friend. Thank you. Yeah. This is the crazy thing. I mean, like so many of us, we have so many different opinions about what, you know, we like and what and how we feel about whatever it is, whether it's music, you know, a girl, a guy, you know, I mean, you know, food, cars, you know, flying or taking the train. You know, we all have different opinions about those things. And so when I hear you guys' different opinions, it really is like it blesses me because it's so different than, you know, something like I think one way, Don thinks another way, and Greg thinks another way. It's like, and that's what the world is supposed to be
that's
about.
You said world, because yes, the music was worldwide. So it doesn't matter any language. Like, luckily, we all, you know, we speak English, so we understand each other a little bit. But, you know, you can go to Australia or any other, you know, countries that speak different languages, and you know, there's a universal respect. You know, you can go to Japan, you know, you can go to China, and I'm sure, you know, they can say how much they love the album and give you the details of the music that you play drums on in Mandarin, you know. So it's universal, man. There's a worldly, it was something worldly about you guys, you know, when it came to, you know, when it came to just good R&B soul music in the 80s, in the late 70s going into the 80s. So I concur with everything Greg says about it, you know.
Yeah.
Go ahead. I'm sorry, man. I just think you got – you. I believe in giving – and every time I interview people – and I remember probably interviewing you and Linda on my old show back in the day, saying, I believe in giving you guys your flowers when you're here. You don't want to feel like, oh my God, you know, of course, you know, we're not all promised, you know, we're not all going to live forever. But even after we're gone, there's a lasting legacy there. And everyone seems to appreciate things more when the person's no longer here. So I just want to say,
Thank you. But that's a really sad reality, that, you know, it always seems that way. They even make movies about the people after they pass away. And, you know, I'm like, you know, why can't you do that? Why, you know, they were still here. For the longest time, I was hoping that they did that for, what's his name on the keyboards? You know, the guy that played the keyboards. Oh, man. Mm-hmm. Rock and Roll. What's his name? The black guy. The keyboards with the hair.
Oh, you talking Little Richard?
Yeah, Little Richard. I was like,
oh, God. I'm like, I'm getting real complex. Like, who is he talking about? Little Richard. Yeah, you know what? But you know what? The funny thing about that, and again, it's a moment of levity, but there is some seriousness there, is he always, every time he presented an award, he let you know. That ain't never gave me nothing.
I know.
You know?
Nothing. I mean, he would say it all the time, and then he passed. It's like, come on. What the crap? Like, you know, why you guys, you know, and every time he said it, I kept on saying, they need to do something.
I'm looking for his quote right now. Let me see if I can find it.
But anyway, we got about another 13 minutes left in the show. Don Fleming, Wardell Potts Jr., and we appreciate you guys hanging out with us. And thanks to our buddy Greg, associate producer, for making sure everything works well and we're doing good. And he didn't complain once today about the microphone. Not once. Not one time. And now I think I know what the problem is, so he won't have to complain anymore. Jeez. Greg gets so frustrated, he turns it off. I can't take it. You know, fix that microphone. And so, you know, and especially, you know, like when you're doing praise and worship and you're talking about, you know, your spiritual walk, if the person can't hear it, it's like, it's just a waste. So I appreciate, you know, his heart and his passion about making sure that we deliver the goods and stuff. So thanks, Greg. Appreciate that. And thanks for emailing me the cover photo as well. I will put it up. Anyway,
here's a quote. He said, "I am the innovator. I am the originator. I am the emancipator. I am the architect of rock and roll." "I thank God for Elvis Presley. I thank the Lord for sending Elvis to open the door so I could walk down the road." Okay. Just amazing. He was something else, man. He was something else. I mean, rest in peace, Little Richard. What an amazing, amazing artist. What an amazing person, you know?
Yeah. Greg said at least all the legends who have lost don't enter heaven through the back door. They don't have to go through the back door no more. They can go through the front door and show up. So you're right.
No, that's right.
Yep, that's right.
I know that's right. Well, man, right. It's almost that time.
All right. Well, we're up and out of here. Do you want to play the song, one more song, and then I'll play the last one? I'm just trying to split it. I'm trying
sure.
to be nice.
I'm
going to close out with a Dynasty song. That's something that some of y'all probably never heard.
Oh,
y'all,
God.
I don't think y'all, no, y'all, I don't think y'all ever heard this song.
I don't believe you.
I'm going to play it.
I don't believe you.
I'm going to play my song, and then you play your song.
Okay. Cool. Right. Let's do that.
All right. Well, we love you guys. That. We love y'all and appreciate you very much. Tune in tomorrow. Soul Art Wants to Dance. As, you know, we just, you know, four on the floor for an hour straight. Just going to bang it. That's all I do. I try so hard to play my favorite up-tempo songs, and Don cracks up sometimes because some of them are a little too soft for him. He's like, what is that? What is he playing?
What are you talking about?
I love
97% of what you do on here.
All right, okay. There you go. I like that.
97.
All right, well, here's Dynasty. This is called That Loving Thing. Check it out on Soul Light Records Radio. Later, Don.
All right. Later.
bit from a bunch of baby.
I pray for you every day.
All right, guys. Good night. God bless you. And thank you for being a part of Solar Records Radio. Take care. We love you.